I'm excited to be in the house of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm excited for what he's going to continue to do. Well, good morning, and I hope you're ready for what God has in store. Right? Are you ready? Real quick, one quick thing that I want to encourage you to do is you have them in your bulletins. Our small groups are starting. You want to get those filled out quick. They close at 12 people. So you want to get those filled out as quick as possible and get those turned in. Because last time, some people, I believe, missed out on getting into a class because they waited for the last day and it was already filled. We do that for a reason and a purpose. And so if you want to be a part of a small group, there's ones on Fridays. There's experiencing God. There's forgiveness. That's with moms with small babies and toddlers. That's a group specifically for that. There's financial peace. There's grief share. There's transformed, which is a woman's study. And there's unshakable hope. Different days, different times. Make sure you see those, fill those out. You can drop them in the prayer bucket on the way out as well. If you didn't get your prayer request, then you can throw them in there too on the way out. So we want to jump into the Word. God's doing something. God's transforming us. God's shift is happening. We're seeing it. We're hearing it. We're hearing about it from people's responses, what's happening. And we're in the middle of a series called Lukewarm. How many people know that Jesus talks about that it's not good to be lukewarm, right? He doesn't want us to be lukewarm. He doesn't want us to be complacent. He doesn't want us to be lethargic. He doesn't want us to be half-hearted. He doesn't want us to be any of those things. He doesn't want us to be kind of neutral and self-satisfied with where we're at in the things of Him, in the worship of Him, in the reading of His Word, in the studying of His Word, the worship of Him, being a disciple. He doesn't want us to be lukewarm. He wants us to be hot, on fire, passionate, letting it come out of us from the inside out. And so over these weeks, we're dealing with issues, or we're dealing with circumstances, or we're dealing with topics that really hit home. And so I want to say this. Don't feel guilty. Don't feel condemnation when God's Word begins to speak to you about these things. Because if we allow guilt and condemnation to settle in, it will stop us from propelling forward in being who God wants us to be, doing what God wants us to do. Because we say, well, I'm not doing that. I haven't been doing that. That's great. You haven't. But that was yesterday, and right now is today. And you can't change yesterday, but you can change now, and you can change where you can go to tomorrow. And so we receive the Word of God, and we apply it and make the necessary changes that bring the passion, the fire, the excitement, the whatever God has called us to be and to do into a working part of our everyday life. And so I can't think about how much I read or didn't read yesterday. I can't think about if I fasted or didn't fast this year. All I can say is, you know what, God, all I got to do is, what are you saying right now? And I want to activate that within me. Amen? I want to talk to you today and share with you from the Word about servanthood. No one got excited about that. Wow. Shakespeare, to be or not to be? That is the question. To serve or not to serve, that is my choice. To serve or not to serve, that's my choice. God's called us to serve. God wants us to serve, but it's still my choice. And so, what does servanthood mean? What does the Word say about it? What's attached to it? What does it demonstrate? What does it show? What are the benefits? What are all those things that go with serving? I think it's important that we know them. Because if we're called to do it, we should know about it. And so, if you have your Bibles, give the Lord a big shout. Yes, hello, come on. It's the Word of God. It's our food. It's our food. Did you know that? The Word of God is our food. It sustains us. It nourishes us. It helps us grow. We should get excited about the reading of the Word. We should get excited about having the Word. If you got a real Bible, not that the one on your phone's fake, but if you got a real Bible, hold it up in the air and shake it. All right. Awesome. If you got a smartphone, wave it in the air. A smartphone here with your Bible on. You got an iPad or a tablet? Anyone using one of those in the place today? Anyone got their laptop with them today too? Okay, I gave you four ways to have the Bible with you every time you come to church. Now I'm going to give you a fifth one. Look in front of you. There's a Bible in front of you. Come on. This we need. We need this. This is a necessity. It's for everyday growth and moving in Him. If you have it, turn to Matthew chapter 20. If you don't have it, if your phone's broken, you have a flip phone that doesn't have an app, if you can't see the Bible in front of you, your tablet's turned off, or your laptop's still in the car, it's on the screen for you. That's number six. Because it's that important. Here we go. 20, verse 24. I love this. Jesus is teaching about serving. And He says this. You know that the rulers of this world lord over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. Here we go. But among you it will be different. We're to be different than what's going on out there. As believers, as disciples, as children of God, we're to be different. He says, but it's going to be different with you. He says this, He goes, whoever wants to be a leader, who wants to be a leader? Who wants to be a leader? Who wants to be strong? Who wants to be advancing going forward? Okay, ready? Here's a criteria to be a leader. You must be a servant. You got to be a servant to be a leader. I'm not making it up. Jesus is saying it. You want to lead, you got to learn to serve. He goes on and He says that, and whoever wants to be first, I love being first. When I was a youth pastor, as any teenager, I did not want to lose in any way, shape, or form. Amen? It was first. First was the only option, was the only option for us, was first. Well, I want to be first. But He says if you want to be first, you must be a slave. Some translations say bondservant. Some translations say servant. So to become first, I must serve. To be a leader, I must serve. But here it is. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others. Today's about servanthood. If Jesus came to serve others, then where do we sit? Where do we stand in the whole realm of serving other people? If it was good enough for Jesus, it better be good enough for me. If Jesus came to serve others, then, oh Lord forbid, I should be serving others. The Bible says. Father, we thank You for Your word. We pray a blessing upon it this day. Speak truth and revelation knowledge to us. In Your name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And so today's about servanthood. See, the greatness in the kingdom of God and in the eyes of God isn't a matter of you being a great leader, of you having authority and power or personal achievement and how much stuff you have. Actually, it's the attitude of our heart that desires to be a servant of the Most High God. We need to understand that. Serving God's purpose is seeking to help and benefit those around us. See, we're called to serve. We're called to make a difference. We're called to step out and to put others in front of us. It's not an easy thing, is it? Because, see, serving really talks about us performing duties at a post or a position that something's in need of. Serving says that we're to furnish and we're to supply something that is needed or desired for others. That's what serving says. Serving is to provide services that will benefit or help or enhance someone else's life or situation. But we must understand, serving isn't and shouldn't be a burden. And we shouldn't look at it as a burden. See, I remember way back when, I walked to school in the snow, 5 miles. I did walk to school in the snow. I did, and I got hit by a car because I had to walk to school in the snowstorm. I'm not kidding about that. Up and over the hood, onto the ground, it was amazing. But I remember when the Lord began to stir in me and call me into serving. I found it to be a burden. Am I speaking to anyone here? I found it to be a burden to serve because it began to mess with my personal life. It began to steal what I thought was my playtime or my time personally that I wanted for myself. And so what I did was I made an excuse why I shouldn't serve. I said, Lord, I'm too young. That was back then. Now I'm saying, Lord. No, I'm not saying that now. But I said, Lord, I'm not educated enough. Lord, I'm not well-versed in that arena or area that you're calling me to step into. Lord, you have so-and-so. Why do you need me? I made every excuse on why not to step out and become a servant of the Most High God. When the fact of the matter is, you know what the number one reason why I didn't want to serve? I just didn't want to. I just didn't want to. And that was wrong thinking and wrong philosophy and wrong, you know, belief of what the Word says. And so I would reason in my mind on how, by not doing this or having these excuses, how it would justify me not serving God or in the kingdom of God or what we're going to talk about today, the local body, the church. It was easy for me to say, you have mom and dad. Why do you need me, God? You have them. And so I made it an excuse why not to serve. And it was so wrong of me to do that. I don't know if you've ever been there. But that's just me. I don't know if you've ever been there. But that's me. But I came to a realization that in the church, we have to understand that in the church, I'm not a guest, but I'm a family member. And there's a difference between guest and family member. Let me tell you a story about a pastor who was invited to a dinner at someone's house. See, him and his wife went to this dinner. And they had dinner, and it was great. They had awesome conversation. Dinner was over. They had dessert. And the wife of the person who invited them got up and began to clear the table off. And all of a sudden, the pastor stood up and began to help them clear the table and get the dishes clean. And she's like, Pastor, you don't need to do that. You're a guest in the house. And he's like, no, I want to serve you because of what's going on. And so he continued to help her. But she's like, you're a guest. You don't have to do that. You're not expected to do that. You're not required to do that. Dinner was awesome. Dessert was great. They went home. He wheels into the driveway, and he notices that his teenage son, daughter, whoever it may be, didn't bring the garbage can in. Amen. Realized that it was still at the end of the driveway after all day. And so what does he do is he gets out of the car, right? He goes and he wheels the garbage can into the house. And when he gets into the house, his wife is putting away the dishes because their kid or their kids did do the dishes from dinner and they were drying. So he walks over to his wife and begins to help her put them away and dry them. The difference between coming from the person's house into his own house is that as a family member, there are things that are just expected and required because it's your house, right? And we have to understand that in the body of Christ, that we're not just guests or visitors when we're connected, regularly attended to the body. We're a family of believers. Therefore, there's responsibilities that I have as a member of this family. And those responsibilities deal with serving. Serving the local church in some dimension, some way, shape, or form. Then taking it from the local body outside of the walls to our community. Asking people if they need help. Stepping out of our comfort zone. It's believers, it's part of who we are and what we should be doing. And so we need to understand that. And so, I love what a pastor wrote. He said, listen, he says, I like to encourage my members of the church to view themselves as owners and family members more than just a member. Because membership always seems to be linked with rights, benefits, and consuming. Let me repeat that. When you're a member at the local gym, looking so fine, I have benefits, I have rights, and I go and I consume. I consume time on the treadmill, on the elliptical. I consume time looking at myself in the mirror, trying to shake it off. But as an owner, it's different because ownership deals with responsibility. There's a responsibility in the ownership.
And so I don't just look at church and serving in church as a guest or a visitor, but I look at it as a part owner in the family of God. Therefore, God's saying that I didn't come to be served, but I come to serve. And if I'm going to be Christ-like, I have to understand that I didn't come to consume in the body of Christ, in the house of God, but I've come to release and serve those who are in need too. I get filled, I get strengthened, I get nourished, but then I release it through my servanthood to the body. Amen. Right? That's what God's calling us to do. So I believe a motto for us when we think of church and the body of church and church itself is find a need, fill a need. Find a need and fill a need. There's enough needs that need to be fulfilled. There are so many. And for the sake of time, I want to encourage you to read the chapter in Genesis, the 24th chapter in Genesis, when Abraham asks his servant, Eliezer, to go and find his son a wife before he passes on. And he beautifully gives you a profile, an example of what a true servant is. Because what he does is he accepts the call of serving Abraham. He accepts the call of serving what was asked of him. And so, and the way he accepted it is that he put his hand underneath his thigh, Old Testament, and he swore an oath that I will do everything that you ask me to do until completion of the task at hand. I won't walk away from my post of serving you, Abraham, until it is over. And from there, he went on and he examined the situation that he was sent to do. It says that he followed the instructions, and then he made a plan, and he submitted the plan before God. And I love what he does then. He submits the plan, but he leaves room for God to move. Amen? Right? He's going to serve, and he gets this plan out, but he lays the plan before God. And then he says, God, I'm pretty much going to give you room. If this isn't the way it should come to pass, I'm going to give you room because you know more than I know. You have greater knowledge and understanding. You will show me the proper way then. And if you continue on through the story, he does everything needed to fulfill what was asked of him as the servant. And he had a need, and he fulfilled that need that was asked of him. But we must ask the question, well, what does serving really do? Come on, that's a great question, isn't it? What does it really do? What does serving in the body of Christ do? Do you know that, see, we have to understand, what we're talking about in a second is, the body is made up of many parts, right? Every part just as important as the other part. Your fingers are just as important as your toes. Your legs are just as important as your arms. Your eyes as your ears. We can go on and on and on. Every part has a function. Every part is needed. I had a friend who cut their toe off. A friend of mine was dating this girl, and she cut her toe off with a riding lawnmower. She didn't walk normal because that big toe does something for your balance and your walking ability. She kind of walked funny, and her shoes kind of looked always weird because there was no thing there. It was always like crunched in. And I say that to say this, that in the body of Christ, in the family of believers, even sitting right here, each of you is an important part of the body. You look different. You smell different. You dress different. You live in different arenas, neighborhoods. You work in different forms of work. But each of you is just as important as the person next to you or the person across the sanctuary to the body of Christ. Because you have a function that needs a function, and you have a gift and a purpose that must be released into the body to benefit the body, to benefit the believer. We talked about that last week in the importance of church attendance, because the body needs to have Christian community amongst believers. There's something that happens in that, whether it's encouraging, whether it's lifting up, whether it's walking alongside, whether it's loving, whether it's serving. All these things we talked about. So you have that function, and so we need to understand that. But really, what does serving do? We need to understand what Jesus said, what I read you, serving will bring advancement and promotion to our lives. If you want to propel forward, begin to serve. I didn't make it up. Who wants to be a leader must serve. Who wants to be served first must serve. That speaks of promotion. That speaks of advancement. So if I want to advance in everyday life, if I want to advance in my growth of God, if I want to advance in the things of the church, I must understand that I'm called to serve. If it was good enough for my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, it's more than good enough for this guy to serve. It brings advancement. Not only does it bring advancement, but it displays you and I being Christ-like to those that we're serving. It gives us the ability to demonstrate Christ-like features to those that we come in contact with. Jesus said, listen, and since I, your Lord and teacher, washed your feet, you ought to go wash each other's feet. John, the 13th chapter. Anyone ever wash someone else's feet? Anyone ever wash? All right. It's nasty. I need some Pepto-Bismol just thinking about it. We were having a 30-hour famine with our teenagers years ago. We had about 150 teenagers. We were at the old building on Lakeview Road. And I'll never forget this because it was one of those life-changing things when I knew that the Lord told me to demonstrate washing feet with them. That myself and our leaders at the time were to wash feet of the teenagers. I don't know about you, but if you haven't spent any time with teenagers, they're dirty. At times they smell. At times they take a shower and put the same socks they've been wearing for 3 days back on into those shoes that they've been wearing for 6 months nonstop. And then they show up for a weekend event that we don't have showers because they're up 30 hours. And so the Lord says, you're going to wash feet. And I'm like, can I delegate? I am the leader. And it was an amazing thing, though, because what it did was it demonstrated to our young people what Christ would do. It showed them and demonstrated being Christ-like, even in those types of arenas. It's great when you're serving and it's nothing like that, when it's the opposite. But he calls us to serve in all those different places. What does serving do is it demonstrates love. Because when we serve, it shows that we're selfless and that we care and that we love other people. See, it demonstrates love because Jesus commands that we're to love one another. It says, it shows that I love my brother or my sister, but it also shows that I love you. Jesus asked Peter, he says, Peter, do you love me? Peter's like, Lord, you know what? I'm getting frustrated with you. This is the third time. You know I love you. He says, good. Then feed my sheep. In other words, serve my people. Get involved in their life. Do something with them and for them. In the name of God Almighty, let the light that's within you shine out, that it would bring glory to the Father. And see, that's what serving does. It lightens life's burdens. It glorifies God because it brings glory to Him. I don't serve to be recognized. I don't serve to be exalted up as like a great person or whatever. I serve because I'm called to serve. No other reason. And I want to serve. So I don't want to say no other reason, but I want to serve. I want to make a difference. I don't do it for accolades. I don't do it for recognition. That's just not me. I just want to see people touched. My wife and I were walking through Topps parking lot the other day shopping, and I watched these two elderly people walking to their van that was parked in the handicap. And I looked at them, and immediately something stirred within me. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? And I looked at her, and I said, hon, we should go ask them if they need help. Because the guy was walking, and I didn't think he was going to make it to the truck. And his wife was pushing the cart. And I didn't know if the cart was going to go out, and she was going to go fall down. And then she hit the cart on her van. She couldn't open the door. So we walked over, and we're like, hi, guys, can we help you? Can we help load your groceries and just help you get all settled? And I loved it because he was proud. He was a proud husband. And he goes, No, we have it, but thank you so much for offering. We appreciate that. Hey, and then we walked away. But it's just putting ourselves out there. I didn't do it to vernaculate. I did it because I seen a need. And the need possibly was they weren't going to get those groceries in the car without one of them going underneath the car. And I didn't want to see that happen. And so we had to volunteer our services. That's a little thing. That's not much of anything. And so we serve because it glorifies God. And the result of it, it glorifies God, it demonstrates love, it lightens life's burdens, it gives us the ability to be Christ-like, and it brings promotion into our lives. And so let me end with these few quick points for you this morning. Well, then what's the benefit? What are some true benefits that will... Who likes benefits? Anyone like benefits? Right? How you've gone for a job opportunity and you want to know what the benefits were? Or before you even applied, you like to see what the benefits were, right? Because you like the benefits. There's nothing wrong with benefits. Nothing wrong at all. But when you and I serve, there are benefits, there are blessings that are attached from the throne room of God into our lives when we release our ability to serve and serve other people. And the first one I think is so important, and this benefits all of us, is that in our serving, we discover purpose and fulfillment in our lives. I want to feel fulfilled. I want to have purpose. I want to have purpose for my everyday life. And so you and I are created for a purpose. Now, everybody's purpose is different, but we're created for a reason. And that purpose is to serve, is to live life, to do the things that God puts you. But part of the purpose is truly serving the kingdom of God, serving the church and serving in our communities, releasing God that dwells in his house within us out of us. And God designed you for a particular reason the way he did. Now, we fight sometimes to try to change how God created us. We try to change because someone tells us we shouldn't be that way. Now, if it's part of God's created process in our lives, then we shouldn't change for anybody because God created you that way. And when you serve, you discover your true purpose and your true meaning, and life begins to receive fulfillment. See, you're an original. You're not photocopied off of any other blueprint in the copy room in the heavens above. God didn't like say, okay, I'm going to take this stack of people and redesign them here and this stack here. No, each one of you is an original. An original. I was watching that Pawn Stars the other day. Some guy brought in some cartoon-looking artwork that was like, yeah, looks like my four-year-old can draw that. $70,000 later, because they were originals, created only once by the artist. You're an original created only once by the creative artist known as God. And so when you serve, your creativity, your purpose, your fulfillment in life begins to be released out of you. Sometimes we sit back and because we're not serving, we really don't know where we fit or we don't know who we really are. And God's saying, I want you to serve. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4:10 that God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them to serve one another. Use your gift to serve one another. Ephesians 2 says we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. A pastor encourages people one day in a service. He said, listen, I need you to give your life away to other people. And when you do that, you will find different meaning. You'll find new meaning. You'll find life and the fulfillment of life. And there was a man in his congregation that says, I don't have much to offer. Actually, I don't have anything to offer you. I just don't feel that way, but I'm going to try it anyways. And he told his pastor that when he stepped out and he began to serve other people, his life changed 180 degrees. It became totally different, excuse me, than it was prior to him stepping out and serving and giving away everything that he was. He moved past just going to church, but he found purpose and he found a reason for his everyday existence because it was found in God through his serving of God Almighty in the church and in the community. And he said leaving the spectator stands was one of the greatest decisions that he had ever made. See, when we begin to serve, we find purpose and fulfillment. And the benefit of serving, we experience that fulfillment and satisfaction that is unmatched. I think of King Solomon, wisest, richest, an amazing man in the Bible. But he says this. Let me read to you what he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. I'm paraphrasing some of it for the length of it. He said, I did great things. I built houses. I planted vineyards for myself. I made gardens and parks. He goes, I had large herds of flocks, more than anyone in Jerusalem had ever before. I had gathered silver and gold for myself. I became famous. Anything that I saw I wanted, I got for myself. He says, but, then I looked at what I have done, and I thought about all the hard work, and suddenly I realized it was all useless. It was all useless. It was like chasing the wind. See, he understood that his purpose and fulfillment wasn't in the gathering of everything for himself, but it's actually found in the serving of other people. Serving nourishes our soul. Serving people and areas brings something special to us. Something happens on the inside when we serve. Jesus was with the woman at the well, and his disciples come back, and they're urging him to eat. Jesus, you need to eat. You need to nourish yourself. You need to have food. And Jesus says, listen, my nourishment and my food comes from doing the will of the Father. Comes from serving Daddy. I find my nourishment from serving Daddy. Jesus is saying that special kind of nourishment is going to come as we serve and we become servants of God, doing his will and serving others. I think of missions. I shared this at the first service. I think of missions. I would encourage you to step out of your arena and go on short missions, long missions, intermediate time missions. But step out of your comfort box because it does something to your soul. It changes you and you'll never be the same. I think of a lot of our young people who have gone to New York City and other places. 90% of those kids have not been the same since going on missions. And one particular instance that changed my life forever is being in New York City, serving on the streets of New York City. It was an eye-opener, and it changed me forever. And because it touched and it did something to my spirit man on the inside, and it was nourishing to my soul, it was impacting me. And so not only does it provide purpose, but it also provides fulfillment. Serving also nourishes the soul. And then serving, the church wins. The body of believers win. You and I win when we learn to serve one another. We win. We're blessed. We're impacted in some way, shape, or form. The local body is a place to find hope and peace and healing and relationships. But the local body must function to its capacity, to in its entirety, to receive the fullness of what God wants to do. And so when we serve and we're part of the body serving in the areas that we're gifted and talented in, or in the area that we're not gifted or talented in, but being trained to be gifted and talented in that area, God does something. God does something and the body wins. Church wins. See, Rick Warren says this. Rick Warren asked this question. Ready? What would happen when one part of the body stops or fails to function? He said, you get sick. The rest of your body suffers. Imagine this. Imagine your heart one day gets up when you get up in the morning and says, body, I decided to start living for myself. I'm going to not serve anybody else for the rest of the year. I'm going to take the rest of the year off. I'm tired. I pump all day long. I work hard, and it's time for me to take a break. I'm going to start doing what's best for me. I'm going to let someone else, or why don't some other part of the body take over? What would happen if our heart said that one day? What would happen? Yell it out. We'd die, right? The finger can't do what the heart does, but the heart can't do what the fingers do. And so when the body's functioning and the servants are serving in the body. Purpose and fulfillment are coming. The soul's being nourished, and the church wins. And the believers and the visitors and all those who attend the local body, they win. They win. And he says at the end of the passage or the little story, he says, thousands of local churches and millions of people today are dying because servants are willing not to serve, are unwilling to serve. They're unwilling to serve. They're sitting on the sidelines, and God's saying, get off the sidelines. Don't be lukewarm in your ability to be a servant. Don't expect or think someone else will do it, because they will. Because we can stand, I'm going to leave you with this real quick. Let's stand to our feet. I want to close with this. Because this is what happens when we have that mindset. There was a little country church, and the church averaged maybe 50 people or so, maybe less. And on a Sunday morning in that small church, there were four main people. The four main people were Fred Somebody, Timmy Everybody, Susan Anybody, and Joe Nobody. And it happened one day that the pastor in this little church, he needed someone to serve in a specific area of ministry inside the church, their church, because they're a family, they're members, they no longer have the outlook of just consuming, but this is their body. This is, they're not a guest, they're an owner, they're part member. This is where they are. And he needed this to happen. And he really wanted anybody to do it. But anybody thought that somebody would do it for him. And everybody was so oblivious to the whole situation that nobody ended up serving. Nobody. Nobody did the most serving, actually, he said. And that's why the church wasn't as effective as it could be. God has called you and I to no longer be complacent. God has called you and I to no longer be lethargic. God has called you and I to no longer be half-hearted, half-committed, in the state of being neutral when it comes to the things of Him, when it comes to His Word, His disciplines, when it comes to the passion that we have for Him, when it comes to being a church attender on a regular basis, or when it comes to being a servant. To serve or not to serve is the choice that I must make. To serve or not to serve is the choice that I must make. I believe today that many of us are being stirred. Many of us are being stirred. Don't worry about that stirring, because I happen to have a solution for that stirring. In your bulletins, you receive this opportunity sheet. I told you we will no longer allow the spirit of lukewarm to settle in. We're going to continue to be propelled forward in what God wants to do here at Southtowns. Here's a great opportunity sheet. On this opportunity sheet, buildings, grounds, food pantry, cafe, nursery, special events. That's like events that happen a couple times a year. Sunday school, ushers, welcome, media, camera, audio, web. Multitudes, ground, buildings and grounds. We have a buildings and grounds department. It consists of one person and this big facility, and then other people that we will call in to help. We need a bigger grounds crew. We need workers. We need greeters. We need media. The body needs servants to be the most effective that we can be. Now, of course, there are things that prerequisites and things that go along in order to serve in certain areas and arenas. That's the way it goes. That's life. But there may be training that's needed. We'll train you. Don't use the excuse, I'm not qualified. Oh, we'll make you qualified. We'll qualify you. We'll qualify you. They're all right here. I'm not going to be lukewarm anymore in any area or arena of my life. That should be our statement. I'm not going to be lukewarm, God. I'm going to serve you passionately. I'm going to commit to my church family. I'm not going to look at it as just being a guest, as a visitor, as one who consumes, but I'm going to take responsibility, because it's my house. It's my house. It's my house that I attend. It's my house that I belong to. It's my family. It's my friends. It's my friends' children. It's my ground. It's my building. It's mine.
God's calling us to serve. I'm not going to put you on the spot. I'm going to say fill it out. Don't do this, though. Don't do this. Hear me. When I say this, I'm not being under or over spiritual. Don't say I'm going to take this home and pray over it. Because here's what happens when we do that. We take it home and we don't pray over it, or we pray over it once and then we stuff it somewhere and then it gets lost and we totally forget about it. Fill it out now and let one of our leaders call you and explain to you what that ministry or that area is needed, and then begin to pray and begin the dialogue with the leader of the department. God's called us to serve in the local body. Will you serve in your family? Will you serve your family? Will we no longer be lukewarm? Will we be on fire and serve? Will we be regular attenders? We're going to learn about, will we bring people to church? Will we tithe and give our tithe and our offering and our alms? These are areas that God's called us to not be lukewarm. Father, in Jesus' name, I declare that this day, Father, you would stir something within our hearts to understand servanthood. That, Father, this day, we would understand the importance of serving. We would understand the benefits. We would understand what exactly serving does. Father, stir it up within us. Father, I even declare this day that the person or people that have been waiting for someone to ask them, I'm asking you, person who has been saying that, I just want someone to ask me, I'm asking you to be involved. I'm asking you to get involved. Would serve their church, would then serve their community, serve their family, serve their neighborhood, serve their school, serve their work. Father, teach us to have a servant spirit this day. Let us see exactly what you said when you declared, I didn't come to be served, but I've come to serve. Let that be our motto. I didn't come to have someone serve and exalt me, but I've come to serve and release Jesus into their lives. Father, I thank you for your word today. I bless you and I honor you. I glorify you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. I'm going to leave the altars open for ministry. The hour's getting late and I want to dismiss you on time today. But if you need prayer for something, we would love to pray with you. I'll have the prayer team come on up.